May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable to you, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Karl Barth, who died in 1968, was a Swiss Reformed and his Lutheran theologian who taught for a time at Princeton. He was a leading Protestant European theologian before, during, and after the Second World War. He had a profound piece of advice for preachers. Take your Bible and take your newspaper and read both, but interpret newspapers from your Bible. This method of theological reflection is how I've approached today's readings. My reading, reality, is that of consuming the news in an agitated state and afterwards promising myself that tomorrow I will read less or none at all. Issues such as white Christian nationalism, racism, rampant injustice, climate change denial, and so much more leave me feeling assaulted and overwhelmed. I lose perspective and focus. It takes effort to then read the Bible, requiring prayers and breathing exercises to prepare myself to being an engaged and accepting listener of the Word. I must remind myself that our God is the God of history, and although speaking at times in a still small voice, her voice is eternal and loving. The talking heads may dominate my attention at times, but it is really our Creator's perspective that I crave. So with this in mind, what can we find in today's scriptural readings? Let's start with the Old Testament reading from the book of Isaiah, a collection of prophetic visions and stories. Isaiah was thought to have lived in Judah in the mid to late 700s BCE. These oracles and narratives found in Isaiah highly influenced Jesus' teachings. In Luke 4, verses 18 and 19, for example, Jesus reads from the 61st chapter of Isaiah in the synagogue in Nazareth. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The prophetic voice throughout Isaiah speaks of God's concern for justice. It foretold that the idolatries and injustices of the empires of the time would result in their downfall. The verses of our reading specifically address the greed and injustice of Judah. It is important to note that the references to Sodom and Gomorrah have nothing to do with sexual depravity. Rather, the original audience of the story understood the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah to be greed and injustice. The linkage of the story to these two cities in this narrative is not to suggest the extermination of the people of Judah, but to emphasize their weakness and their wickedness. You will notice that there is an 8-verse gap in the reading from Isaiah. These missing verses set the stage, outlining God's summons of heaven and earth to witness the trial of the people. Our reading contains God's indictment of the people of Judah for their failure to uphold their covenantal contract, for rebelling against their Creator. This was a prophetic indictment against the religious establishment, which had legitimized the powerful elite. Their religious practices, the blood sacrifices and prayers, did not honor God. The priests were enriched by requiring the already impoverished people to provide the animals and grain for these sacrifices. They're raising prayers and sacrifices to God, while at the same time desecrating God's commandment to love, was obscene. They were called to judgment for supporting and benefiting from the status quo. The indictment is both a call of condemnation and a call to action. There is a plea for the new community based on God's covenant. Cease to do evil. learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. In the end, God offered redemption to all. Come now, let us argue this out. Robert Alter's translation of this verse from the original Hebrew is a little clearer. Come, pray, for let us come to terms. God desires their well-being and gives them another chance. The people will survive and flourish if they are willing and obedient, if they live into their obligations and responsibilities. The epistle reading relates the pastoral support provided to a community experiencing oppression despite following the way of Jesus. Because they refused to worship the gods of empire, they faced continued hostility from the dominant system. They faced discrimination in all aspects of their life. These people had been expecting the second coming of Jesus and were discouraged that it had taken so long. One can imagine that they had emotionally withdrawn from the world and were trying to live an insular life. The author of Hebrews was calling for the people to live in faith, to follow the example of those who had done so before. Faith is defined as the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Other English synonyms can be used in defining faith, including confidence, trust, reliance, conviction, belief, devotion, loyalty, each with its own particular nuance. When considering the concept of faith, one has to acknowledge its complexity and contradictions. As its root, faith is our response to divine revelation and the gift of unconditional love. It is our expression of gratitude and trust for our Creator. We express our gratitude with deeds of love and justice. Faith is a foundational perspective for seeking understanding, of theological reflection. Let me say that again. Faith is the foundational perspective of seeking understanding, of theological reflection. Faith is the lens through which we seek comprehension. We read the newspaper. We then pursue wisdom presented in the Bible. We ask tough questions and listen and act. Faith is a set of beliefs in the nature of the divine, our Creator, and our relationship with each other and our world. It is communal. Faith is the defining characteristic of our community here at Grace. Our shared and individual faith is being articulated today in this service. Ironically, while faith in our relationship with community enables us to cope with our circumstances, our faith can also expose us to hostility, ridicule, and violence. In our world today, the manifestation of faith amongst Christians can be divisive and result in ruptured relationships, or far worse. The reading from the book of Luke is a pastoral call to community of frightened disciples. Jesus reassures them that to not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Yet again, there is an accompanying call to action. Be dressed for action and have your lamps on. You must be ready. This call to vigilance is coupled with the assurance of salvation. Jesus reminded them and us today that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Who or what is the object of your faith? What do you ultimately value or hold dear? How does your faith express itself in community, in the world? There is a theme in these three readings that I now wish to highlight. The kingdom promised by God. The kingdom is the gift from God, a gift to those who trust our Creator and honor the relationship inherent in this gift. In the reading from Isaiah, we are reminded that if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. In Hebrews, those who live in faith, those who live with their life having accepted the gift of unconditional love, anticipate a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Lastly, in our reading from Luke, we hear that it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The kingdom is from God and cannot be man-made. For countless millennia, humanity has fallen into the trap of believing otherwise. These readings present the good news of who we are in the eyes of our Creator. We are loved unconditionally. We are not alone in this world, and God wants us to eat the good of the land. The reading also presents the good news of our responsibilities and obligations. We are called repeatedly to action. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. We are to cease to do evil and not do the things of this world, not let the things of this world become our false idols, the things that can be stolen by thieves and destroyed by moths. We are to reflect on how what we treasure can destroy us. Theological reflection is the practice of reconciling life's events in relation to one's faith. This practice also invites us to reflect on and seek inspiration from the words and actions of those who walk in faith with us today and those who have lived before, to learn from them. An example of this involves the referencing of today's gospel reading by a seminal document from the 20th century. In the 1930s, the Nazi Party in Germany strove to make the Protestant Church's subservient organ of the state. Tragically, they were largely successful. The Nazi ideology identified Germany and its people as the supreme good, eclipsing Jesus. The Nazis promised the German people a kingdom, literally the thousand-year Reich. The German word for Reich is translated into English as kingdom. There were a few who recognized this corruption of the gospel as idolatry. They formed what is called the Confessing Church. The leaders included the martyred Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Martin Niemeyer, and Karl Barth. In 1934, the Confessing Church published the Barman Declaration, outlining their demand for ecclesiastical independence, opposing the state's establishment of church dogma and creeds. The document was primarily written by Karl Barth. Contained within the preamble of this document is an invitation for the reader to test the validity of the declaration based upon theological reflection. Reading from the statement, if you find that we are speaking contrary to Scripture, then do not listen to us. But if you find that we are taking our stand upon Scripture, then let no fear or temptation keep you from treading with us on the path of faith and obedience to the Word of God. In order that God's people may be of one mind upon earth, and that we in faith experience what He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let us pray. Grant to us, Lord, we pray, the Spirit to think and do always those things that are right, that we who cannot exist without you may by you be enabled to live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.